Here today, smiling faces and all, and even the sad and frowny ones too. No, there are none of those, thank goodness. So, when you guys think of Christmas, what comes to mind? Food, presents, fun family, okay, all right. Amen. But not time off from church. These guys did what you just heard better than what they did in practice.
Amen.
That's a Christmas miracle. Now we could have closing prayer. So, the season is cold. The air is somewhat dry and wet. That's what Christmas brings. It's my favorite time of the year. Flowers, lights, family, food, peace on earth. Oh yeah, that's all good stuff too. But presents and etc. Anything else that comes to mind? Come on, I need some more answers. Huh? Salvation. Good. Wow. I'm missing a few things that I should be hearing. Huh? What was that? Hope. Hope. What else? Who gives you hope?
Jesus.
Okay, we're getting warmer. Amen. I was hoping to hear something
love.
Okay. Well, I was hoping to hear something like the baby in the manger. So that you didn't say that, so that ruined the sermon. So, but that's one of the things that I think of is that birth from a virgin in Jesus Christ. It was a miracle at that time, 2,000 some years ago, as we were told in the scriptures. Conception by a virgin, never seen before in human history, never to be seen again. One of the greatest miracles he's ever done. It's no small feat, but only God could do that. But there's other miraculous aspects of Christmas that I want to touch on as well. And hopefully we could get a better perspective of the season besides just the things you've just listed, which are all really good and we can all enjoy. So let's look at what Christine just read, John 3:1 and verse 3:14. I'll just summarize again what she just read. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing would have been made. Could you believe that? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I should get away from the speaker. Here's something confounding. In verse 3, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing would have been made. So, what does that remind you of when we're talking about creation? Creation, Genesis, right? Okay. What happened in Genesis? What was created? The world, the earth, the sky, the firmament, the trees, the birds, the seas, the land, the animals, the creatures, sun, moon, stars, night and day, and the most amazing part of creation was and is
human,
His image. We are in His image, despite our condition today. But in terms of creation, we typically look at what we can see, right? We look at the sky, the moon, the stars, the trees, and we awe at how amazing they are when we're out in the nature, for example, right? But we hardly go beyond that confine of our five senses, right? Have you ever thought about expanding that perspective to see what else is beyond what our eyes can capture? Okay, do you know what I mean? What do I mean?
To,
Hmm? The spiritual things, definitely. I'm also talking about in the realms of creation. Even though spiritual is on point, I'm talking about what is out and beyond our immediate living space. Okay. Because to see creation is to see the Creator, right? Because without the stuff that's created, you know, there's you can't have creation without a Creator, right? So consider, for example, where we are on planet Earth. You know, God made the heavens and the earth, and here we are. It's our home. It's our only home. And it's what we normally say is that it's a pretty small world because of modern technology allowing us to travel, going to different places in a very short period of time. And that's pretty good because in the past, the Earth is a huge and expansive place that's people would normally not be able to see in their lifetime, but now we can travel and basically just be anywhere at any time in just a matter of days. How large is the Earth? Let's go through some trivia, science trivia. Who knows the circumference of the Earth? 1, 2, nothing? That's okay. Science class has been long ago for me too. I'll just throw out some stats for you. So the Earth is about 25,000 miles around in circumference, right? That's around the equator, okay? It takes an airplane how long if it goes nonstop to circumvent the entire planet? Take a guess. Huh? I heard 14 hours. No. About 40 to 45 hours, somewhere in that range, right? Now, if you look into the sky, what two celestial bodies do we typically see? Sun and moon. The moon, how big is that? Or how far away is it from us? Good answer. She said, I don't know. At least it's an honest answer. It's about 250,000 miles from Earth. Okay, you know how far that really is? Huh, it's actually pretty far. You could fit 30 Earths between us and the moon. You didn't know that. You thought it was closer, right? Because it looks so big. Okay. And what's the other celestial body? The sun. Now, you can see that they're both the same size from Earth's perspective, Earth and moon, or sun and moon, right? It's made not by accident to be that way. That's how God set it up. Scientists can't believe it. How does that happen when two celestial bodies, great distances apart, different sizes, and yet from Earth, they look exactly the same size? And that's a good thing, otherwise a total eclipse would not be very cool. Right. So their sun is about 2.7 million miles in circumference, and it's a medium-sized sun in our galaxy. And it can hold how many planet Earths, do you think? The silence is deafening. It could hold about 1.3 million Earths. The thing is huge. Okay, we haven't gone too far yet. We're still a little bit away from our Earth. We haven't gone beyond the solar system. I'm trying to give you the perspective of what the Word did in the beginning. Okay, this, what we're seeing so far, would not be possible without the Word, which was from the beginning until now. Okay? 93 million miles away is the sun from us. It takes light to travel here about how much time do you think? Nobody's got their elementary science class? That's okay. I cheated. I went online to get the answer, so I'll just give it to you. About 8 minutes. Light gets to the Earth from the sun. 8 minutes, okay? If light were to go around the planet Earth and travel 1 second, how many times would it circumvent the Earth? That's right. Lucky guess. There's one thing that's faster than the speed of light. That's a side quiz. I might give you an answer about that later, but we got to move on. And let's go beyond a little further into the solar system. outside the solar system, did you remember hearing about Voyager 2, about last month, right, November? What was its milestone? Do you know what Voyager 2 is? Good. That's a good answer. No. Let me explain. It's the first man-made satellite that has gone beyond just outside our solar system. On November 5th, it went beyond that point. It's the second man-made craft to do so. The first one was Voyager 1. So, how far is it out there? It's about 11 billion miles from Earth. Okay. So, it takes light from Earth to there about half a day. Okay, light can go 186,000 miles per second, and yet takes about half a day to reach that outer limit of our solar system. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Beyond our solar system, our next closest star is... Oh, Danny's got it. Mr. Science Guy. How far away is it, Danny? 4.24 light years. So it'll take light 4 years, 3 months to get from there to us, okay? So that's how far that place is. Now, what's the biggest star that we know of? Huh? Close, but that's a good guess, pretty good. Anyway. It was until recently. Right now, the name is weird, it's called UY Scuti, Scuti. It's 9,500 light years from Earth. So light would require 9,500 years to reach the star. This is the biggest known star today. Guess it's, take a guess at what its circumference is. That's a good answer. Okay, remember our sun, I think I did mention it, or maybe not, it was 2.7 million miles in circumference is our sun, right? This star is 4.7 billion in circumference. Guess how many of our suns can fit into this star? 5 billion. 5 billion suns. Okay. So let's put this into a more visible perspective. If the Earth was a volleyball, say like, we don't have one, but it's like this, right? That, if you were to extrapolate in scale, the sun would be about 73 feet wide as a ball if the Earth was like this, size as what I'm doing with my hand, right? The sun would be 73 feet in diameter, probably about three times the size of the church. That's what the sun would be if you scale it up to that example. So this star, UY Scuti, if we keep it in that scale, would be a 24-mile-wide ball. Compare that to the Earth if it's just the size of this. Okay, 24 miles. That's from here to Hayward. That's a giant ball compared to the sun if it was just three times this building. That star is huge, just to say the least. But there are so many such stars in our Milky Way galaxy, which, by the way, is named after a candy bar. Okay, some of you good got that. There are stars in excess of 100 billion in our galaxies. And just to imagine, there's got to be more that are larger than this one that have not been discovered yet. Think about that. Okay, we're getting a scale of the word that created all of this. Because without the word, none of this would have existed. Exactly. This immense specimen of the cosmos, let's say. Okay? We, in the Milky Way, we've got about 100 to maybe 250 billion of these such stars. Okay? The Milky Way is how big a crust? Who can guess? There's our science guy. He's been hiding all this time. That's right, 100,000 light years across. So it would take light 100,000 years to get across the Milky Way. Remember, light gets from the sun to us in 8 minutes. Okay, beyond the Milky Way, there's another subsection, subgroup called the local group. That's about 54 galaxies. How big is that local group, do you think? Our local neighborhood galaxy. 10 million light years. And outside of that, there's called the Virgo supercluster. That's about 110 million light years. Okay. Go a step further. There's this supercluster called the Laniakea supercluster. This holds about over 100,000 galaxies, and that cluster is about 500 million light years across. Light takes 500 million years. It's not even imaginable how big that is. So, but beyond that, what the scientists believe as the entire discovered observable universe is, get ready for this, about 93 billion light years across. Okay. In that space, they're estimating there are probably 200 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. Each galaxy probably holding several hundred billion stars. So if you do the math, there are more stars in what we can discover than there are grains of sand on Earth. Have you ever had a bucket of sand? Can you count the grains in that bucket? How about all the beaches on planet Earth? Add all the grains of sand of all the beaches of all the world, of this planet. There are more stars in our known universe than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. And every single grain of sand owes its existence to the Word. Without which there would be no sand or us. Can you wrap your mind around that? This is not even infinity. We've just only discovered just what scientists think they know. Infinity is even greater. And yet God created infinity. And yet God is bigger than infinity. Can human minds grasp and understand that? Why? Our minds are finite. The finite cannot understand the infinite. It's just not possible. You know, a little baby cannot understand quantum physics. Neither can adults. Most of them, anyways. So we can't hope to understand how big God is, but we just know what He can do. Folks, we are just so small. And to see creation and put it into perspective just reveals to us how powerful the Word is. God spoke His words and this came to be. Out of nothing came infinity. Out of nothing came stars that are bigger than our imagination could conjure. Okay? This, I think, is a miracle, to be able to do that from nothing. And speaking of coming up from nothing, this was how the baby Jesus came. Usually, babies are created from, an egg, sperm, and you have conception, at least in the normal way. And so, when we read about the birth of Jesus, it's where the Word became flesh. Flesh and blood. Let's try to understand this. Let's recap of what the Creator can do or did, okay? Going back to the book of Genesis. The birth of Jesus is a miracle in itself, but if you think about it, it's really not that miraculous or that big of a deal for God, because He can do anything. He can create Adam and Eve just from dirt. He can make the stars in heaven just from nothing. But to create something beyond what we know and see, let's think about it. God created the heavens, the Creator created the earth, He created the stars, moons, etc. But as Jesus was born as a little baby, the Creator became the created. Okay? What the Creator became a creature. That should be difficult to grasp. Okay? Because we cannot do that. He lowered himself from being the most infinite and powerful thing that you could even imagine, bigger than the scale of the universe. And yet, here he was, becoming flesh and blood just for us. And it's not just how the incarnation is, it is who was incarnated and why. Okay? As a human being, the Almighty can now become something that we can relate to. Because remember, as we were discussing the vastness of the universe, it's difficult for our minds to grasp it and to relate to it. But when Jesus, when the Lord actually became a human being, now we as humans can relate to Him. He is now something that can be understood, okay? What was infinite is now finite, just like we are, okay? What was incomprehensible is now understandable. What was unimaginable is now literally visible before our eyes as just a little child. What was before omnipotent is now merely an infant. Okay? From unbelievable, endless infinity to something man can actually see again. And this is really what I want to bring home. At the birth, it was when mankind can finally see God again face to face. Because the last time he was able to do that was back in the Garden of Eden. Remember when they had not sinned, Adam and Eve, they were able to walk with God, talk with God, see him face to face. But then what happened? They fell. They surrendered their divinity or their immortality. They had to hide their faces from him. They could no longer see him. Okay? They were kicked out of the garden and no more were they able to commune like face to face. So, when the Word became flesh, when the Word became humanity, man again can commune with God as he once did. He can now relate to him as he once did before the fall. Eden was a time when man had no sin and God showed himself to be a divinity. But now, at the birth, man had assumed a sinful state, but God appeared to him as a normal human being, face to face, equal with him. And the reason is, it's simple. It's for our salvation. And that, to me, is the ultimate miracle of Christmas. And as you celebrate the season and enjoy time and family, food and fun, I know I will, keep in mind that the miracle of Christmas began before the foundation of the world. It culminated in the birth of Jesus. It is an encapsulation of what infinity and omnipotence is into what we now, today, and back then can understand and can relate to. Amen. Okay. Otherwise, without that, it'll be nothing for us, as if the Word was never there. So the Word became flesh, just like we are flesh, so that we can reestablish that relationship that was broken long ago. And that's the miracle of Christmas. Amen. Amen. And we're not done yet. We've got a few more songs. Praise team, I hate to do this to you. Come back up. We're going to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you.
faithful.
Classic traditional hymn, Silent Night, as we always do as we close our worship and Christmas program for the year. for singing. Sounded good. Almost as good as them. Next year, y'all will be all up here too, right? All right. Let's close our program with our benediction. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting Christ in Christmas. In his name, amen.
Amen.
I'm told there's a little bit of lunch if you guys